It doesn't matter where I am, J-Bell. As long as the show goes on.
Scary. Scary Terry.
I'm 100% sure that if he was playing for the New York Giants, there's no chance he would have had the season that he's had right now with the Giants. There's absolutely no chance that would have happened.
Jalen Hurts is a big chain and a briefcase.
He is performing as a head coach at the highest level. And because he might irritate you, because you might not like, you know, the way he goes about his business, we can't deny what he's doing as a coach. He is a fantastic football coach, and we have to give him the credit that he deserves.
This is why our game is the best. It's because of things like that. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast, brought to you by 888 Sport and Lazy Boy, the official partner of the NFL UK and Ireland. And before we get going, my brother OC.
Yes, sir.
You are at an undisclosed location right now, making big governmental changes and trying to circumvent everything that's happening right now across the globe. And thank you for being with us.
Yeah, but the show don't stop. No matter where we go, the show don't stop, J-Bell. You just moved to a different location. You see all my extra stuff I got going on over here. This looks like a professional setup, unlike the little basement, the cave that I record in when I'm in England, bro.
I like the setup, man, and it makes me feel like you're making some big time decisions out there. I don't even know what country you're in, but I know it seems like you're in a safe bunker somewhere.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. It doesn't matter where I am, J-Bell. As long as the show goes on.
I will see you at Super Bowl soon, though, right?
I'll be there. Don't worry. I'll be there.
Are you excited for this matchup?
You know, I literally cannot wait to watch it. There's so many things, so much stuff we got to talk about. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so many storylines. But before we do that, let's bring you the best of the championship round, brought to you by Lazy Boy. All right, OC, let's get into the Lazy Boy plays of the week in the championship round.
Yes, sir. Here we go. First play comes from the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. Buffalo ahead 10-7. But right here, my homeboy, I haven't called him my homeboy in such a long time, Patrick Mahomes. This man having a fantastic season, looking to his left, and just a simple, nice little out route to Worthy, and he gets into the end zone, J-Bell.
From the 11, first down. Pass, Worthy, touchdown! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Xavier Worthy's first touchdown on the day, and I love this route concept, OC. It is a stack route, and you can see him get open because of his alignment versus Damar Hamlin. Great play design, great touchdown.
Play number two, still in the Kansas City game. Kansas City ahead, 14-10. Patrick Mahomes barking instructions. Nobody in the backfield with him. Takes the snap under duress. Scrambles to his right. Just throws up a prayer.
Mahomes is looking that way. Breaking down. Able to get rid of it. And somehow at the end, I think the Bills, no, they're going to say Worthy has possession. We got a flag down. But this is a catch by Worthy.
And Xavier Worthy. I am Worthy. What a great, spectacular football play, Jason.
Amazing play, OC. You are right. And this is what happens on a scramble drill. Xavier Worthy just trying to find space downfield, even though it was a short route, and he went up and competed for the ball. It was a controversy, but I'm telling you, he came down with it.
Play number three, the Kansas City Chiefs down here on the goal line. Third and goal. They're ahead. 14-10, Mahomes sends somebody in motion, scrambles off to his right, can't find anybody, and drags his way, running over Damar Hamlin into the end zone. What a great play.
Rolling, Mahomes, he can keep it, he can get there, he's in for the touchdown.
That's exactly what they were trying to do, OC. Put Damar Hamlin in conflict. As you see, Patrick Mahomes doesn't like anything he sees in the back of the end zone. Damar Hamlin is too deep, and Patrick Mahomes takes off and gets in the end zone.
In the fourth quarter, Kansas City down. Buffalo actually ahead 22-21. 10 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Patrick Mahomes needs to make a play here. What exactly are they going to call? They're down there on the goal line. They have to make something happen. Mahomes sends 83 in the motion. motion. He's going to take the snap. Oh, it is a fake.
Mahomes still has it. To the five. And in for the touchdown.
And he has a cavalcade. Is cavalcade, is that actually a word? I don't even know. A cavalry of blockers getting into the end zone, J-Bell.
What a play design. You know Andy Reid likes coming up with the magic down in the red area, and you are absolutely correct. Two tight ends in the backfield, downfield, blocking little people, and Patrick Mahomes runs into the end zone. He cannot be denied.
Yeah, they usually don't run people when they got like $500 million, J-Bell.
Only in the playoffs when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right, but they don't really like to run them when they got $500 million, J-Bell.
When the game's on the line, you got to earn that bread.
On to the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington Commanders. Washington ahead, 3-0. Nobody knew how this game was going to end. Jalen Hurts barking instructions, looking around, surveying the field, calling in Barkley into motion, standing there, Barkley acting confused. The play clock is winding down, but oh, they have a play or a nice little pitch. Jalen Hurts out to Saquon Barkley.
Here's Barkley, a little shovel, looking for an edge, gets it. Saquon Barkley, first down. Barkley, oh! Saquon, touchdown!
A spin move. He's in a washing machine. He's putting people in the blender, and he scampers all the way into the end zone. What a play.
This was a great design because this is exactly what Washington struggled at. The perimeter runs to the outside, and that's where Philly attacked. Saquon Barkley using his vision, his speed, his elusiveness, coming through with a big-time explosive play.
But you know the Washington Commanders are going to answer. Philadelphia ahead, 14-6. Jaden Daniels, empty, nobody in the backfield. He's going to take the snap. He's going to look directly to his right and deliver a strike.
Daniels fires one, caught McLaurin in stride, breaks a tackle. Terry McLaurin is in, touchdown.
And that is scary. Terry McLaurin outrunning everybody, dragging defenders into the end zone. What a touchdown, J-Bell.
Tempo and empty are a thing that Washington Commanders love to do. And you see this quick strike to the outside between two defenders, Daniels with big time accuracy and Scary Terry with the yak, the yards after the catch.
I thought you were talking about the drink, no?
It's Sober Sundays.
Oh. That is exactly what it is not. In the first quarter still, my friend Jason is going to love this one. They call this special teams for special players. Fourth down and six, the Washington Commanders are going to punt the ball.
Here's Tress Way. Oh, it's a fake. We're going to throw. He's got a man wide open, and it's caught. Sinnott, the third tight end. What a fake by Washington, and the rookie delivers for the drive continues.
Number 82, Ben Sinnott right here, faking protection, releasing out, coming up with a big-time catch. These are the kind of plays you need to have when you're in the playoffs and you got to move the ball. Great play call by the Washington Commanders.
In the third quarter now, the Eagles in danger of running away with the game. Ahead 34-15, Jaden Daniels. What an outstanding rookie season this guy has had. He has to make a play here. Third and one. This man must do something to get his team back in the game. Takes the snap.
Going quick here. Daniels looking to keep it. Daniels, great move on his feet and in for the touchdown. Oh, what a move.
I love it. And you like Daniels too. You're right. What a year. But this is why he's such a threat. His running ability in the red area. He sees the offensive line create a hole, a gap, a running lane, and he takes advantage of that almost untouched all the way to the end zone. This guy tried his hardest to bring his team back.
But I'm saying it takes like real time out of your day to actually choreograph a dance. It takes like time, J-Bell.
Are you telling me this guy isn't a baller and he doesn't deserve it?
I'm telling you that he shouldn't have taken that time, that little time right there that he took to choreograph his dance with his teammates. That could have been the difference between winning and losing, J-Bell.
You think so after he scored that touchdown?
I'm just talking crazy because I'm upset. On to the fourth quarter. Philadelphia Eagles in the head. 48-23, they have blown this game wide open.
Daniels going deep to the end zone. It is! Is it picked? It is! Intercepted by Quinyon Mitchell.
I need a tip drill. I need a tip drill. Big time play by Quinyon Mitchell. Four turnovers forced on the day by the Philadelphia defense, and they are trying to let you know and remind you that Scary Terry isn't really that scary. There's no peekaboo here.
I used to stay up to like 3 o'clock in the morning to watch Tip Drill. Some BET. Remember BET Uncut? Remember that, J-Bow?
Oh, my goodness. BET Uncut? Classic. Are you kidding me? That was epic, bro. That hey, man, that was our social media. That was our social media. I need a Tip Drill. All right, OC, let's go in order with these games, okay?
Okay.
We're making no favorites here. We're gonna tell the people how we really feel. The Eagles, 55, put up 55 on the Commanders, who got 23 on the day. This is the fifth time the Eagles will go to the Super Bowl and their second appearance in the last 3 years, OC. And this was a new record for the most points in an NFC championship game. This is an offense I think we all were a little worried about, especially because of the play recently of their quarterback. But Saquon Barkley, he wanted no parts of that conversation, OC. No parts at all. He had 15 carries for 118 yards with three touchdowns. And I mean, that first play he got was so explosive, you know he meant business on the day, OC. And as two former Giants, I've never been personally rooting for someone that plays for the Eagles like I root for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I hate the Eagles. You know, hate's a strong word, but I am not an Eagles fan. I'll just put that out there. But I was rooting for Saquon Barkley, and I am happy with the year he had that he gets to go to the Super Bowl. He is this offense. He makes them explosive. It's going to be very interesting to watch him in the game because the contrasting styles of their offenses, but they are both efficient in their own way.
No, I absolutely hate the Eagles. That's not even like a... You know,
I try to be diplomatic.
No,
for
no,
the
you did. You did. You know, but you're a man of the people. You know what I mean? But I have to just tell you exactly how it is. As a matter of fact, the Eagles bought the rights to Ghana for the marketing rights to market in Ghana.
Really?
So they did. They were the first team to do that. Nobody else did that. So I had to give them a lot of credit, and I had to like temper down my hatred for that football team because I respect what they did. I'm like, wow, Philly, you guys are really, really cool. And then I watch what Saquon Barkley is doing, and I get upset all over. It makes me even more angry because they have utilized this man in a way that, oh my goodness, what a season, what a football team, absolutely balling. Man, I hate what they did to the Commanders. Paul Washington Commanders.
I know. You know, before I want to dive into Saquon Barkley more, but let's bring the people in to what happened over the past 11 to 12 months with Saquon, right? He wants to be a New York Giant. They don't want to pay him. It's on video, obviously, because they're off-season show they were on,
yeah,
where it dove into everything that's happening into the front office. And you saw the owner come in and say, hey, are we sure we want to go? We want to move on from Saquon Barkley. He's a fan favorite. He gives us energy. You know, he is our offense. And they were like, yeah, it's not worth it, basically, you know, for the cost. And then he's on the phone with the GM, and the GM saying, hey, go test the market, see what you can get. You know, come back to us when the market dictates what you should be paid, right? And he's like, will you do that? And he's like, I told you I want to be here, but you're basically telling me you don't want to pay me and you want me to go out and see if somebody else finds me attractive.
Yeah.
Well, not only was he attractive by the way they paid him, but he has completely changed this team's destiny. Without him, the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to the Super Bowl, OC. He was probably top three for the MVP. He's one of the most explosive players we've seen in the past 5 years in the running game, especially. He is dynamic. Think about what he's been through, what he means to this organization. As a Giants fan, I am sick.
No, I hear you, and I completely understand that. But I think there's a, I wouldn't say a misunderstanding about the type of success that he's had here and the things that he's been able to do. What people fail to realize, for the most part, is that this guy was drafted as the number two overall pick, which means this is something that they never do for running backs, right? They never draft running backs that high, but they drafted him that high because they thought he was a special generational talent.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing now is actually what they drafted him to do. He played well in New York, no question about that. You could see the explosiveness. You could see the type of player that this guy could be. But you take that type of player, that type of generational talent, and you put him in this particular situation where the team is built specifically for this kind of player, and you see exactly what is happening right now. I don't know if I've ever seen a situation like this before. When you have a football player who was playing well, he was, you know, well regarded in the city, but now they've taken him away from that city, and everything thought that that was going to be a negative, and he's gone to another team, a rival of the team that he came from, and exploded in a way that we just haven't seen before. It worked out well for him. I'm 100% sure that if he was playing for the New York Giants, there's no chance he would have had the season that he's had right now with the Giants. There's absolutely no chance that would have happened. So it worked out well for him, not so well for the New York Giants. But man, what a season, Jason.
You're absolutely right. He is in a situation where he can thrive behind this offensive line that's dominant. They're a team built on talent. There's so much talent on the outside that if you don't double those guys, especially one guy, A.J. Brown, you leave him man-to-man, you're going to throw to him. He's going to win that scenario, that setup. If you don't load the box with that offensive line, you give the ball to Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts a run threat. There's your advantage. You said something. We were having our pre-production discussion, and you brought up something I didn't even think of. You brought up Dave Gettleman,
yeah, the
former GM from the Giants, and you pointed out some of the picks he made and how they are performing. Not all of them are on the same team with the Giants, but they are balling, which makes you question a lot of things around those picks, meaning who was coaching them.
When you think about Dave Gettleman, the aura around him is he was a failure as a general manager. That's what they say. They say he wasn't a good GM. He did this, he did that. He didn't produce. He put the Giants in cap hell and all this type of stuff. But the GM's main job is evaluating talents. That's what he's supposed to do.
Fact. Yeah. Yep.
And the right talents. Let's talk about who he picked. Andrew Thomas, left tackle, franchise. You don't find those kind of players. Picked him high. Saquon Barkley, picked him high. Xavier McKinney, picked him, you know.
Balling.
And he's balling. My main man, Dexter Lawrence, the best defensive tackle in football outside of maybe Jalen Carter. These are all Dave Gettleman picks. And Dave Gettleman came from a long line of Giants GMs who thought the same way. And they built the team the same way. And you are seeing these football players perform at the high level. Now, I'm not going to say the new GM isn't going to be able to do that. But we have to put some respect on Dave Gettleman's name for the things and the picks that he was able to pick. That could be your franchise. That could be the cornerstone of the New York football Giants right now if some of those guys weren't traded away.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney, think if he was in the back cleaning stuff up and you were able to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, that's a good formula, right? You can even have a mid-tier quarterback, but building around that and finding a way to coach those guys up, that's a formula for success. I'm not saying you'd run deep into the playoffs, but you can win some games, right? Turn the ball over, run the ball well. It's a key to victory. We find a way to give love to the Giants, don't we? We find a way. It's hard. I want to give love to somebody else. Jalen Hurts. Question mark coming into this game was we haven't seen him throw the ball well, especially since the injuries, right? He's not seeing the field well right now. We don't like how he's going through his progressions. Well, during this game, where he had to make plays, he delivered. I mean, they have a picture of him after the game, lighting up the cigar in the locker room. He got his shirt tucked in like Michael Jordan. No. He got the Jordan tuck. Like, he going to get some golf in. He about to get around in right after the game. I had to love it, man. And all I think about is this, man. Him running around with that briefcase, man. He is all about the business, OC.
There's this little situation that they got going on right now. I think it came from a couple of weeks ago, where he sat down and he had his chain on.
Ooh.
And the chain that he had on was so spectacular, J-Bell. And the light hit the chain, and you could see the diamonds just glistening. And everybody who saw that said, all the rappers now got to go tuck their chain in. They said he destroyed it for all the rappers.
I'm going to just tuck mine in,
J-Bell. You can't even wear jewelry around after Jalen Hurts put that on. But I'll say this. Outside of, you know, the football player that he is, and this is a guy who, quite frankly, played better than Patrick Mahomes the last Super Bowl that the Kansas City Chiefs won. If Philadelphia would have won that game, he would have been the MVP. Magnificent, right? He's had his ups and downs. But when I look at him, and I look at the way he carries himself, and I look at the way he behaves, to me, he is the embodiment of, like, a man, like a leader.
Mm.
Loved or played with a guy like that. Like, I would follow that guy into any situation, under any circumstances, because he possesses that je ne sais quoi, as they like to call it, right? And he is a charismatic, a leader. And he also has that hood in him, J-Bell. As you can see with the little chain that he's rocking, he also has both sides. And you want to have those in the situations that you have in the NFL.
Jalen Hurts is a big chain and a briefcase. Big chain and the briefcase. I wonder if the big chain goes in the briefcase when he goes on the field. Right?
Yeah.
You take it off, you put it in the brief, right? It fits. But you're right. Showing that display, you're absolutely correct. He relates to everybody in his own way. And he balled. He delivered 246 passing yards and a touchdown, three more on the ground. And this is what he said after the game to back you up about being a leader. I don't play the game for stats. I don't play the game for numbers or any statistical approval from anyone else. And I understand that everyone has a preconceived notion on how they want it to look or how they expect it to look. Winning success is defined by that particular individual, and it's all relative to the person. And what I define it as is winning. That's what he defines it as. So as the number one on my jersey, the number one goal always is to come out here and win.
Well, he's lying.
What are you talking about? What do you mean he's lying? That's how he rolls. I do not believe that. He wants to win, OC. That is what he's all about. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. He's lying.
J-Bell, let me tell you something.
He ain't lying.
Let me explain something. Any athlete, professional athlete, who tells you, I don't care about stats. I don't care about any of those type of things. They're lying. And the only reason why I'll say that is this. It sounds good. And it's the image that we should project. But ultimately, stats is how you feed your family. That's just the way it goes. If you're not putting up numbers, and I'll give you another example. Remember Trent Dilfer? With the Baltimore Ravens?
Yes.
Super Bowl. Won the Super Bowl with the team.
He took my boy Tony Banks. Tony Banks was a starter. Trent comes in, wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wins the Super Bowl, right? But the team was built around the defense. And so eventually what happens is if you're not putting up numbers and your defense is balling, they replace you. That's just how the NFL goes. So wins are good. Wins are something that you have to have. But on a personal level, you have to be able to put up numbers, man. Wins and losses in the playoffs is one thing. Wins and losses in the regular season, completely different situation. That's just the way I see it.
Yes, you want to win in the playoffs, but you got to win in the regular season to get to the playoffs. So, okay, I'm following, but I'm a little confused. The second is, you are right. You do get paid for stats. That is, you cannot dispute that statement. Would you rather be Patrick Mahomes, who didn't even make it to the Pro Bowl, or Joe Burrow right now?
It depends on which year.
This year? Yeah.
Well, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, and it depends on the situation.
My man Joe Burrow had unbelievable stats. Balling. Yeah. Flat yes. out balling. Got paid
yes.
already, you know, but got paid off of stats.
You're answering your own question.
Got paid off of stats. True.
Once you've been paid, that's when you can start to say things like, well, stats don't matter and all this type of stuff. Because if you don't have any money, you must get those stats.
Okay.
Period.
So your thing, and I'm with you. I'm just throwing out this because I'm going to bring it back to the real point. You said Jalen Hurts was lying.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts got paid.
There we go.
So why is he lying right now that he doesn't care about stats?
What did he get paid off of?
He just said this comment after what? Last game. So how was he lying in this comment
because
after
he
last
was
game?
Making, because he was making a generalization. He was making a generalization. I don't care about stats.
You that's not a generalization. Not, that's
you, I. And I'm telling you that I, right, believe he's lying. I'm telling you that as a professional athlete.
I don't believe he's lying.
As a professional athlete. It's only when you get paid. So there should be a caveat in there. There should be a caveat in there that I don't care about stats, but you don't care about stats only when you've gotten paid. When you haven't gotten paid, you care about stats 100%.
I'm going to move on. I want to know if we both agree that Jalen Carter is probably the best defensive tackle in football right now for the Philadelphia Eagles.
He's number two.
Who's
he's
number one?
Oh, Dexter. You already know.
Sexy Dexy.
Number one. Sexy Dexy's doing it from the nose guard position.
Which is,
you know, that's where the pigs are. That's where the big uglies are, right? Jalen Carter gets to move around. He's playing it like Aaron Donald. You know, it's a completely different situation. Fantastic football player, no question. But the best to me is Dexter Lawrence.
Okay. Jalen Carter is balling out right now. And at the beginning of the year, he kind of got called out by Vic Fangio, the new defense coordinator. I think it was the first two games. Didn't like how they played. Conditioning was in question, especially last year. He was on and off the field a lot, but he has completely taken over games. He wins the moments. You know, he's on the field all the time. I mean, he's disrupting everything, OC. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, man, it finally clicked for him. He finally turned it on. And I want to ask you, as somebody who understands that position, has played every position on the defensive line, why is it just working for him now? Is it the new change in coach philosophy? Is it the way he's approaching his business? Like, what are you seeing? What do you think?
I mean, it could be, you know, a number of all those things. But what I will say is, when it comes to the defensive line position, defensive tackles, defensive ends, whatever you want to call it, as long as you're on the line, it usually takes 2 to 3 years before you fully come into your own. Because when you come out of college, you realize that these guys, that you're just so much better than everybody in college, right? You're able to utilize your athleticism, your power. You're not even really doing moves. Once you get to the NFL, you realize, hey, everybody is strong. Everybody's fast. Everybody's quick. Now you have to become a student of the game. Now you have to understand, what is a jump set? Oh, what is a two-hand puncher? What is a wrapper? What is a gap hand guy? How do I defeat these punches? How do I defeat these moves? What do I do if they're sliding the line to me? What am I doing if there's a chip coming? What do I do if there's a double team? Like, all these different things that are coming at you, you have to now figure them all out while moving at pace, moving at speed. Yeah. And it is a very, very difficult thing to do because the game moves so much quicker. Now, year two, you're like, okay, you're coming into your own. By year three, you got it all figured out. There's very few players on the line who can come in and immediately dominate. I've seen maybe like two in my entire career. But, you know, he's coming into his own now. He's going to be a great player for a long time.
Does he remind you of anybody?
I mean, I heard somebody throw out Aaron Donald.
Different body types, though.
Yeah, but somebody threw that out. I wouldn't say he reminds me of AD. Who would I say he reminds me of? Yeah, I can't think. Maybe Sean Rogers. I don't know if people remember Sean Rogers.
Oh, he was nice.
Yeah, Sean Rogers. I think that's who I would
say. He was quick for his size.
Big baby. That's what they call him.
Yeah.
A monster.
Nick Sirianni. Slick Nick is what I call him. Nick Sirianni. Yeah. What? Hey, man. When I look at Jalen and I look at the head coach, Nick Sirianni, I think, I'm glad these two are in the same room together because they're completely different in styles, yeah. man. Like, I think the security, Big Dom, right? The guy last year who shoved, was it last year when he shoved or a year before? 2 years ago, yeah. But everybody seems to love him, right? He's the guy. But I feel like he's really there to just keep Nick together, man. Keep Nick Sirianni together, man. What's your thought on Nick Sirianni going back to the Super Bowl, man? Is he going to say anything reckless this week?
Who knows? Maybe he'll cry. Maybe he'll do something. We don't know what Nick's going to do. But in terms of Nick Sirianni, I think that we have to give him a lot more credit than we are. Okay. There was a time last year when we were talking about him as maybe they're going to fire this guy, right? We're like, get rid of him. He doesn't know what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, a lot of that he brought on himself because of his behavior. You know, he has a very, very, is an irritating way about him. Like, like he grates on you. You understand what I mean? Like, if you're his opponent and you're watching him, you're like, ugh, right? But, you know, you talk about a coach who has taken his team to the Super Bowl 2 out of 3 years. Do you know how hard that is to do?
Can't deny that.
You know, do you know how hard it is to manage the type of players that he has there? There's a skill, there's a talent to be able to do that. He has relinquished power. He has given his players the ability to express themselves. He is performing as a head coach at the highest level. Yep. And because he might irritate you, because you might not like, you know, the way he goes about his business, we can't deny what he's doing as a coach. He is a fantastic football coach, and we have to give him the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. He's back. It's hard to get there. Talented team. But, hey, they're talented, and they're playing like that, and the troops are following him. He knows what the formula is, and it's working. I just want to give a shout-out to Jaden Daniels on his performance where he's leaving the playoffs. He was exciting. We were rooting for him. What a year this kid had. If it wasn't for the turnovers, OC, by Washington, this would have been a different game. Let's be honest. All the fumbles at critical moments. But the way he played, the moment wasn't too big for him, OC. Congratulations, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he performed really, really well. There's no excuse for those turnovers, man. They were just, you know, nerves, I would say, stupid mistakes, and they got blown out for it. But in terms of the quarterback position, the Washington Commanders have their guy for the next 10 to 15 years. Imagine what that feels like, J-Bell. Imagine what that feels like as your franchise to have the guy for the next 10 to 15 years. You just got to build around him, and success is inevitable.
Without a doubt. I mean, the guy threw for 255 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown. He had the interception, but my goodness, the way he played, amazing. Both these two teams going to the Super Bowl, they think and know they are supposed to be there. That's what's going to make this exciting and interesting. And the three-peat, my friend, is in motion. The three-peat is in motion, my brother. The Kansas City Chiefs, what a game. 32-29, they beat the Bills. What a game, came down to the final drive. And of course, that defense of the Kansas City Chiefs stood up to the challenge and made the play that ended the game when Josh Allen was attempting to make a comeback.
I read something about that play, which I found fascinating, J-Bell.
Talk to me, because I love that play. I got it right here.
Yeah. So the guard for the Buffalo Bills, I forget what his name was, he said that Spags had showed that look multiple times throughout the game. He showed it multiple times. He kept on showing that look. And then they would drop out of it. So in that particular play, right, he showed that look again. The Buffalo Bills had said to themselves, he had shown this look like 10 times before. We're going to slide our line to the left. He slid the line to the left, and that's when Spags brought the blitz.
it was brought it from the right.
Beautiful, bro. Absolutely beautiful. The amount of planning, the amount of foresight, the amount of, you know, like, intestinal fortitude to hold that play until the very last minute and then send the blitz. That's just genius, J-Bell, genius.
This is why our game is the best. Yeah. It's because of things like that. Let's break this down. That was Osiris Torrance talking about that. That was the guard. Okay. So in the game, You, me, defenders, we are looking for patterns, right? They're doing the same on offense. And the coordinators are playing this game. What do you think I'm going to do next? Yeah. When do you think I'm going to do it? Yeah, this cat and mouse game. And a lot of times it's the patience, right? It's knowing when. Now I'm throwing this punch. I can't show it because when I throw it, it's got to connect and it's got to be a moment, right? It's got to be that time. And the great coordinators, they're dialing all up in the dark, looking at the tape. But when you're out there on the field, when are you going to call it? When it's tense, when the pressure's on the line, if they don't get there, they block it up, you're going to get gashed. Bad things are going to happen. Steve Spagnuolo is a master at this. He is a master. Andy Reid is a master at the right call at the right time. Right call at the right time. A lot of times people have the right call, but it's the wrong time. Mm-hmm. Your play sheet, yeah, I should run this, but not now because the guy on the other side knows that's when you're going to run it. But it's that game. And that's what makes this team so different, OC.
He sets that play up. The whole game. What?
Because he knew in this, I'm going to make sure that I am allowing this. And he might have got gashed. Oh, she think about it. He might have set it up and they had a successful run or a pass or whatever. And they're like, oh, we can do this. This is what they're doing. They're trying to make us think like this. So we think the pressure's there, but then they drop back into the zone thinking we're going to throw there, right? That's what it's about. If you show pressure one way, the quarterback's trying to identify and attack the area the pressure's coming from, right? If I got pressure coming in my face on the right, it should be opened up in the back or I have a hot route around that. So you drop back to take the hot route away over and over and over again. Well, you're a quarterback. You're looking for patterns. The offensive line, you're looking for patterns. And he broke it at that moment. That is what makes them win the moments, OC. It's not only that they got the right components, they got the players, they got the playmakers, but it's the play callers, OC. This is their ingredients to success. This is why they're back. When you look at this, OC, it doesn't matter what's happening. They got Mahomes, they got Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, Chris Jones. They have Travis Kelce. You move other things around, but when you look at those core ingredients, they find a way to cook something up every single year.
This team is on the verge of winning a third straight Super Bowl. Unprecedented. Has never been done before. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how they call it Chiefs fatigue now, right? Like people are tired of seeing them winning, you know, the tide is turning against them. They're starting to hate this football team. Oh, why the Chiefs? Why? Why this? Why that? And, you know, Uncle Sam, a producer, had went through a list of what this football team. Do you have that list,
Jay? I got that. I'm about to tell
just
you right now.
Rattle it off real quick.
I want you to know we're gonna talk about how great this is, right? And the last three-peat in major sports history was 2000 to 2002 with the Lakers, right? Shaq and Kobe. We always talk about that. But look at what Mahomes has done since he's been the starter, okay? The AFC Championship game and lost in overtime. They won a Super Bowl against the 49ers. They're back in the Super Bowl. They lose against the Buccaneers. Then they lose the AFC Championship to the Bengals, okay? So they are at the top of the food chain every year. Then they come back, win a Super Bowl against the Eagles, win a Super Bowl against the 49ers, and now back to another Super Bowl. Are you kidding me, bro? Like, that's so... Think of how much football they've played.
Unprecedented what this football team has been able to do.
Unreal!
As a matter of fact, we saw the New England Patriots do something similar, and I, for one, thought we will never, ever see this again. The reason why I thought we would never see this again is, and this is something that fans, viewers, everybody needs to understand. The NFL is built specifically to prevent this type of thing from happening.
Oh, you're absolutely
right. They have said to themselves, we do not want this at any cost. We're going to do everything within our power to make sure there is no dynasty. everybody's going to be equal. Everybody's going to have the same amount of money. Everybody's going to have access to the same amount of players. We're going to have a salary cap. The revenue is going to be distributed evenly. Nobody's going to have a leg up on anybody else. So guess what? There's going to be no dynasties. There's going to be no great football teams. It's free market, free for all. Everybody wins. Right? Wrong.
Ooh.
Wrong. And there's a very, very specific reason why that's wrong, J-Bell.
Okay, tell me. Because
they can control all that stuff. They can control all the salary cap, the free agent. They can do all of that.
Yep.
They can't control the GM and the coaches. Can't control that.
Cannot
control that, J-Bell.
There's no salary cap on that.
Nothing there. So if you so happen to get the right coach and the right GM who's putting together the players, that's it for you. You see it happening with the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Right coach, right GM. They're in the NFC Championship. You know, they're winning Super Bowl.
They're talented team.
All the time. So this right here is what can't be prevented. And if you have that coach and you have that GM who are able to put the people in the right place, there's nothing, there's no parity there. We talk about this all the time, J-Bell. There's parity in players. There's parity in teams. There's no parity in coaching. And that is what the Kansas City Chiefs have.
No, not in the front office. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the perfect storm. Okay, you get Andy Reid. He comes from Philly because he didn't have any championships. They wanted to move on. Worked out for both of them. Worked out for both the teams. And he gets your guy Spagnuolo, who was a former head coach, right? Back. He comes back. He teams up with Andy Reid. They used to coach together in Philly. And Spags has got some interviews, but Spags is happy where he is. There's been continuity with those two. And the way they call a game and see the game, they don't have to switch out because Andy's calling the offense, Spags is calling the defense. And I read this article about Andy Reid, and it said what this card he has on his desk, which is don't judge. And that's his philosophy on coaching. That's his philosophy on how he approaches players, individuals throughout the organization. And it's, and it makes sense because if you judge a player and you stop really looking, listening, then you lose what they're good at. You mishandle someone who could help produce for your team that year. Because all we're talking about is that year, right, OC? It's a one-year thing. But because that's not his approach, he finds a way to get the best out of everybody. And that is significant because what has he had to do? They've had to change who they are each year. When we go through that list, every year they have changed who they are as a team. This is what Tom Brady had to do, OC. He won in different ways. That's what they're doing. And I think you're right. It's because there's not a lot of parity in the front office and the coach and those people. And you have someone who can take the ingredients. He's not judgmental. He allows you to be you as long as you fit in. I mean, Travis Kelce wasn't the golden child. He had issues coming in the league. Worked out for him, right? Played well. It's the way he handles them. The way he approaches his business, it's top down and it's work. There is no mystery why they are back going for this three-peat. And I think people that are haters because they're tired of it need to understand how difficult this is. And that's the story we should be talking about.
Completely agree. Couldn't agree with you more there, J-Bell. I think that when you're looking at this football team and you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, especially if you're new to the game or whatever, and you have any semblance of Chiefs fatigue, you need to understand the rules of the NFL. You need to understand that everything has been built to make sure that this doesn't happen. And it's happening anyway. Have to appreciate it.
You do. And think how hard it is to, you know, physically. Oh, see, that's so much football. Your offseason is cut in half. You got to find a way to bounce back and understand how you're going to be your healthiest, how you're going to be at your peak as far as performance in these later rounds. And they keep doing it, OC.
Unbelievable. Shout out to the Kansas City
Chiefs. Man, they must be on your workout plan in the offseason, man, because them boys be ready. And I'm telling you, that's why we need to celebrate this. We need to talk about this because of that. Too bad for Josh Allen, the Bills, so close. Are you worried about this team? Do you think they'll get another shot, or was this their best shot to dethrone the champs?
Every time this happens, we say that, you know, this was their best shot, and they keep on bouncing back. But another thing that we got to talk about in terms of the Buffalo Bills, everybody talks about the Chicago Bears passing up on Patrick Mahomes, right?
Oh my god.
Everybody talks about the Bears passing up on Patrick Mahomes. But there's another team that passed up on Patrick Mahomes. There was another team that had the opportunity to pick Patrick Mahomes and passed him over, and it was the Buffalo Bills. And now they've lost to him four times, right where they needed to.
They got Josh Allen, though. Come on.
Don't matter.
Oh, my. You telling me Josh Allen ain't that dude? He's probably going to be number two for the MVP.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. They have lost to the guy they passed over. Every single poor Buffalo Bills. They lost four straight Super Bowls, and now they passed over Patrick Mahomes, and they're losing to this guy. Uh-huh. You think they'd rather have Patrick Mahomes right now or Josh Allen? I'm pretty sure it'd be Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know.
Oh, not saying because they think Josh Allen is a better
Josh
quarterback.
Josh Allen's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm not saying because they think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback. I'm saying because Patrick Mahomes has beaten them four times.
Oh, yeah. Just remove him from the equation.
Get him out of there.
They could have drafted both of them, put him on one on the bench, right? Just get him out of there. I mean, you know, the thing about it is they're always going to have an opportunity because Josh Allen is special. And I think they're going to upgrade the roster. They had some holes they got to figure out. But it's becoming that point where, you know how these franchises, they make these, you know, the old school Bills where you used to just say the New York Giants, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the four times the Super Bowl, they lost, you know, they were back to back. It just wasn't for them. Man, I hope this isn't their destiny, man. I hope this isn't their destiny again.
They got to get over Patrick Mahomes, bro.
They got to get over it. Cannot do it. They cannot pull it back. This is going to be really interesting to watch for the next decade, man. All these quarterbacks in the AFC going at it, trying to dethrone Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Lamar, Josh, Burrow. I mean, this is it's amazing, bro. It's nothing like it, man. I mean, I remember when we talked about who are the next batch of quarterbacks. Who are they going to be? Man, NFL, like you said, it did not disappoint. They found a way, OC. Absolutely. Can't wait to see you in the Super Bowl, man. Are you going to give us – you're not going to give your pick until the game like usual? Right before?
Know. Yeah. I don't even know why you asked.
Can you tell me where you're leaning so I can get my brain going? That's, no?
It just – because the truth is I don't know. It's a feel thing.
I know. Yeah, I know. It is. We have a podcast. Next week we'll be on location on, it's called Radio Row, but really now it's Media Row. Mm-hmm. And we'll dive into this game a little more. We'll probably have some special guests from the NFL UK community come through, say what's up. And me and OC will break it down. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening, viewing. Keep subscribing, liking, commenting, all that, man. The Jason LC Podcast, we really, really appreciate it. Add us to all your social media platforms. Tell a friend. I mean, OC, who doesn't want to listen to my man OC? I call him all the time just to listen to him break down stuff. So, you know what I mean? Y'all get to do it for free. We will check you out at the Super Bowl. We'll have another one. Thank you again. Jason and OC Podcast, signing out. Say it. Say it.
No. Everything is under control.
Yes. Oh. Yes, I needed that. That set my day up.